Wyoming has long considered itself a leader in carbon management, how to capture and store carbon. And with the world's attention focused on the climate talks in Paris, the question of how to keep carbon out of the atmosphere has never been more pertinent. Kip Coddington is the new head of the University of Wyoming's Carbon Management Institute, and he sat down with Wyoming Public Radio's Stephanie Joyce to talk about the future of carbon storage technologies.
What is Wyoming's potential for carbon capture and sequestration?
The potential is wonderful. Just look, and it's in two different areas. I divide the world of geologic storage into two large buckets. One is storage during enhanced oil recovery, which we use the acronym CO2 EOR, and that is where you're using CO2 to enhance the additional production of typically oil in a producing field, and then that CO2 is stored as part of that process. And just with the ample oil production activities in Wyoming, there's substantial storage capability in existing oil fields within the state. With respect to non-enhanced oil recovery storage, an example of which would be the Rock Springs uplift, there also is tremendous potential there as well.
With non-EOR storage, obviously there's a few projects that have come online.
There are a few projects.
Very few. I mean, where do you see this technology headed?
I think those are great questions. And again, the example I always use, it almost feels as if we're at Kitty Hawk and the Wright brothers have just built that aircraft and it's gone 200 feet down the beach. And then everyone is turning around and asking where the 747 is. I'm actually heartened by the number of projects that are moving forward. I would say for deep saline storage, the issues are less technical than economic. It is a deadweight loss to inject CO2 into a non-productive activity, which would be storage as opposed to enhanced oil recovery. So the economics of those projects are challenged. But if we do go to a greater carbon and carbon constrained world, there will be greater imperative to do something with the CO2. At that future date, those saline storage opportunities may start to pencil. But until we get into that cost environment, that's probably not going to happen. But in the meantime, I think we are going to see more and more of these CO2 enhanced oil recovery projects go forward, because there is an economic case to be made for that. Starting today,
it seems to me like the biggest hurdle is that there is a pretty strong movement just to simply move away from burning fossil fuels. So there isn't a lot of enthusiasm for investing in ways to capture carbon on the back end.
I am aware of this keep it in the ground movement. And I guess my answer to the keep it in the ground movement is that at some point, reality has to kick in. I mean, people want the lights to come on. You have to be able to get in a vehicle and drive. So if you keep it in the ground, what does that mean? That looks good for a slogan on a T-shirt, but what does that really mean? Fossil fuels are going to have a good long run. I think they may stay under carbon management pressure. That's going to continue to stay, and the keep it in the ground movement may just be the next front. But I don't think they're going to go away. Certainly not soon.
There's been a lot of criticism in the past that the companies who have the most vested interest in continuing to have coal, the utilities and the coal companies, have not actually invested a lot of money in this kind of technology and have not actually shown a great deal of interest in furthering this technology. Is that an unfair criticism?
Again, everything. I don't think is black and white. These issues are gray. I guess I don't entirely agree with that. First of all, with utilities are in the business of making electrons. You could toss whatever fuel in the front door and they'll burn it or combust it or fuse it or whatever. They're in the electron business. They're not in the business of defending particular fuels. So you're right. The utilities, I think, generally have been, I would say, appropriately cautious about this technology because they have a duty to keep the lights on. The coal industry is their business model is mining coal. It's less of an R&D focus. It's less of a project development. I think the coal companies have done the best they could in a challenging economic environment.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question then is who is responsible? You know, if it's not the coal companies and it's not the utilities, I mean, who's going to put up the money? Because it's going to take a lot of money.
Well, then I would my ultimate answer there is that ultimately aren't these issues the taxpayers' responsibility? So if our elective representatives have said that taking the carbon out or reducing carbon is a civic responsibility, yet we still need energy. You know, all these low carbon products sound good, but generally, you know, they come with a price.
One of the sort of striking contradictions that I see is here in Wyoming, we're obviously investing in carbon management, but you know, our political delegation doesn't actually acknowledge the existence of climate change. Doesn't actually acknowledge that there is a need to capture carbon. So, is the political climate that doesn't acknowledge climate change actually a hindrance to actually getting this kind of technology off the ground?
I'm not an astute observer of the Wyoming political scene. I will say that the Wyoming legislature has done a fantastic job, a wonderful job, and we're indebted to them for the resources they've put into the university, the School of Energy Resources, and these sorts of technologies. So the legislature has done a wonderful job of supporting the R&D aspect of it. So when I look at that, I would have no reason to conclude, you know, otherwise. And I do think people are allowed to have a backup plan.
Do you think that climate change is something that we should be addressing, that's a pressing societal concern?
I think there are certain knowns. They've got that sensor in the top of the volcano in Hawaii, and they can see the parts per million of CO2 going up. That is a known. I think I'm unsettled by some of the squishiness of the science. But again, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because the policymakers have already decided as upheld by the Supreme Court. And this is the direction. And I don't see that changing.
I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me come in. I certainly appreciate it.